I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
iZotope and Native Instruments have teamed up to create the start-to-finish bundle that home recording guitar nerds have been waiting for. Plus, you, dear listener, get an extra 10% off with Guitar Nerds by using discount code NERDS10 at the checkout on iZotope.com. From the creative spark to the final touch, their new bundles include pretty much everything you could possibly need, which is great because it's far too easy to sink hundreds of pounds and a big chunk of your time into just picking up random plugins. The Music Production Suite 4.1 and Complete 13 bundle contains over 30 intelligent mixing, mastering and repair plugins, 65 premium instruments, 20 plus expansions and over 35,000 sounds. And if that's a bit basic for you, they've also bundled Music Production Suite 4.1 with Complete 13 Ultimate, which gives you everything that makes Complete 13 incredible, plus a colossal library of added synths, sampled instruments and effects, 115 plus premium instruments and effects, 39 native instruments expansions and over 65,000 sounds. Whew. It sounds like a lot. It is. It's very good, very comprehensive. And as we've come to expect from iZotope, it's very good value. If you're looking to get into home recording, I cannot recommend it more highly. And if you're already into home recording, it really is the one-stop shop for making what you do sound better. This podcast is entirely treated and produced using iZotope plugins, and Native Instruments have been responsible for almost every synth or sample you've heard on our Guitar Nerds jingles. Check out their great new bundles on iZotope.com or follow links in the description of this podcast and use discount code NERDS10 at the checkout for 10% off anything in the iZotope arsenal.
Hello and welcome, dear listener, to the final episode in 2022's Gear of the Year. That's right, everyone. We've had best guitar, we've had best amplifier, stroke modeler, and we've had best effects pedal. Those things have been decided. We now just need to decide what is the overall greatest product, well, the top three, of Gear of the Year 2022. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Matt Knight.
Hello there.
Philip Carter.
Howdy, y'all.
And Blake Weiland.
Hi.
Hi, indeed. Hello, all. Welcome back. Okay, so we've had a couple of days to reflect on the decisions that we've made. And we're gonna argue a little bit. You know, we don't need to go over things quite as much. This is a shorter episode, dear listener. We're just deciding the winners, but we are gonna decide them through debate initially, and I will only introduce a scoring system if we can't come to some sort of organic, because it would be better for us to do it organically. Someone always gets cut out if I end up doing the scoring system. It's normally Blake, we found. So you're just too lovely, Blake, and your ideas are off kilter.
You know, I'm ahead of the curve.
That's what it is. Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. I imagine that's what it is. But, I mean, before we go into that, we are going to take a look at the listener's choice and the Patreon choice. And see how our listeners have weighed up against our decisions. Before that, Matt Knight, you've moved.
I have. I've been displaced. I'm in a new place. I've got more space. But yes, I have moved house. I guess for listeners, there will be no time difference, realistically, because...
it's released the day after the last one.
It's released the next day, but it's actually for us about 3 days, and in that I've moved a lot. Physically moved, as in lots of steps, but also moved house. So I have unboxed absolutely nothing.
Wow.
We've got a living space, which is the main thing.
I see.
But we've got no shopping. I've unboxed no clothes, and I had to rip my entire studio apart, so I need to rebuild that.
Worth noting, if sorry, I interrupted.
I was going to say just pre-Christmas. I've still got to go to work, unfortunately. So
that sounds awful. I wonder what that's like. Anyway, worth noting, dear listener, that Matt is joining us tethered to his laptop by his telephone. Not like, I don't mean there's a rope around him or anything. I just mean he's using his phone for internet on his computer. So
there might be. We don't know that.
We don't
true.
Know.
He have no be, idea.
Yeah, he could be on a sex swing for all we know, dear listener.
That's how I'm picturing it.
I wasn't before, but now.
But yeah, so we'll see. So if anything goes wrong, you know, I'll try and keep things flowing, and Matt will try and rejoin the call if he can, if something does
I will
out.
Always try and rejoin the call.
And Matt, also, I guess you haven't even got a chance to talk about, we'll talk about this mainly in season four of the Guitar Nerds podcast next year, but you've got a new head, you've got a Mirage from, what's the company called?
Emprise Amps. Yes, it is. Annoyingly sat in a box. I haven't unboxed it, and in the move has managed to destroy my speaker cab, so at the moment I've got no speaker cab either, so I need to repair that as well, unfortunately, so can't even give any first impressions or a glimpse into it before season three starts next year.
That's a shame, because that's going to be exciting. Those are really cool amps, because I got the Haxby Mini, which is like I took a picture, dear listener, I popped it on the Guitar Nerds Facebook group, but it's like the valve-exposed version of a two-channel Fender amp, like a 12-watt sort of thing.
Yeah, I think these are going to be really, really cool things to check out. We've got them all the way in the lead-up to Birmingham Guitar Show, so we're going to be going straight into UK guitar shows not long after we start. Should
Wonderful.
Be nice.
That is going to be nice. And Blake, you've got a nosebleed.
I do. Yeah. I got that for Christmas. Well, I was jamming on my Grez Guitars Mendocino baritone, as I do, and I was plugged into my Sun Beta lead, and the riffs were too strong for my body to hold up to, which is it's a thing that happens occasionally, and yes, I just started bleeding out of my face from the pure gnarliness of the riffage, which is, like I said, something that happens here occasionally.
Oh, wow, that is, that sounds excessive, but it only talks to the character of the Grez Mendocino baritone. What a lovely guitar. Also, Barry's been uploading some amazing guitars over the last... few weeks. I feel like they just keep getting better and better.
I need him to stop. I need him to stop. my wallet needs him to stop.
It's so dangerous.
It's too much. He sent me... I don't know if it's a secret. I guess it doesn't really matter, but I won't say what it is just in case. But he sent me a message of something that he's working on that I would be very into. And I was just like, oh, this is not the time to introduce me to something that I definitely want to buy. That's easily another £3,000, you know? So God damn it. I wish his guitars weren't as amazing as they are.
He made one that I played at Fretboard Summit last year. Was a Mendocino, but it was like, Bigsby Sunburst. It was just the most spectacular guitar I've ever touched, and I'm trying to find a way to afford to get one made. Just he's the nicest dude, and he makes spectacular guitars.
Oh, they're so good. I was just thinking, this has got to be the first time in podcast history where we've had three different Grez owners, on one podcast at the same time, just sort of. Like, independently.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
That is interesting. Like, this is the largest collaboration of Grez owners I know.
Yeah. That's the impact he's had on the podcast industry.
There you go.
Thanks for making me feel left out. And
Now it's time to join, Matt. It's time.
Buying Music Mans and get a Grez.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll do me a deal. Zero down, zero payments over forever.
Well, yes. Yeah, so we need to get on with choosing a winner, of course. Also, because you know, Philip, because of the time difference, this is cutting right into your working day.
I have a full time job, not in the music industry, so this is not considered work time for me.
Yes, no, exactly. So you know, this episode, we don't think it's going to be too long, dear listener. It really depends how much we argue. So before I talk about the nine products that have made it through for us, I want to talk about the listener choices. So I put out a poll, both in the Guitar Nerds Patreon. I also put one on the Guitar Nerds Facebook group. Well, first of all, I put out a message like looking for suggestions, and basically people can suggest things that they think are gear of the year, and then I'll take maybe roughly the top five that have more than one suggestion, basically that have the top five most suggested things, and I'll put them in a poll and then people can vote. This year was a bit of a weird one because it was like everyone had a different thing. There were virtually no things doubling up. A couple of things, a handful of things. One that I missed that I was corrected on and had to add it to the listener's choice late on. But yeah, very, very, weird year. No clear winners, perhaps. But what they boiled down to in the, they were different, but only slightly. They're always only slightly different. In the listener's choice, the top five products, and this is how they differed from ours, guys, is we ended up with the Earthquaker Devices Special Cranker, the Victory V4. It was kind of the range, but I think the jack got suggested the most. The Boss RE202, obviously that was super popular for us, won our category of best effects pedal. The MXR, the MXR Duke of Tone, again, very popular for us, made it into third place. The Boss, the new Boss Slicer, the SL2, and the Yamaha. In fact, we didn't really talk about the SL2 enough, and none of us had it kind of, none of us were especially pitching for that. And the Yamaha Revstar, the new P90 loaded version of the Revstar, where they've changed the body shape slightly, they've corrected the neck dive that it had. Gorgeous tailpiece, wonderful finishes, very articulate, lovely sounding, high quality P90s. Those were the six products that made it into the listener's choice. In the Patreon choice, very similar, we had the Boss SL2, again, the Victory V4, the Boss RE202, the Duke of Tone, and I've put the SL2 in a fifth time. I don't know why.
It was just that
cool. Yeah.
I don't know why I've put that in twice. Let me just, that's in a document that I had. So I'm just going to check on the actual, yeah. So what did I miss out then? The Earthquaker Devices Special Cranker. Did I say that? That's what the fifth one was. So in fact, all the same products.
Yeah, just different order.
Yeah, exactly. And then, except for the Yamaha Revstar, I didn't make it into the Patreon choice. And then the top three in the listener's choice, in third place, the Duke of Tone. Well, that was exactly the same as our effects pedal third place. In second place, the Yamaha Revstar P90 loaded guitar. We didn't even talk about the Revstars.
I didn't realize they'd came out with new ones.
I genuinely thought they were just new finishes.
Right. Yes, it was a slight shape adjustment and a few other things. I feel like they were refining something, you know, with these. But yeah,
rather than introducing something.
Exactly.
I do love those. I wish I would have paid more attention.
Yeah, they are good, especially the tailpiece on the P90 loaded version is very cool. And in first place, the winner of the listener's choice is the Boss RE202.
Whoa.
The exact same product that we thought was indeed the best effects pedal of 2022. On the Patreon, we've had a different top three. In third place, we had a tie between the Earthquaker Devices Special Cranker and the Boss SL2. In second place, we had the Victory V4. Didn't even appear in the listener's choice top three.
Wow.
And, of course, it did come third for us in the amps choice. And at number one, yet again, the Boss RE202, which kind of leads us to us talking about the best overall product. We've had the Boss RE202 win listener's choice. We've had the Boss RE202 win Patreon's choice. The Boss RE202 won our best effects pedal choice.
Yep.
That puts it in a pretty prime position to potentially top the gear of the year overall. So the nine products that have made it through from effects pedals, the Boss RE202, the Meris, what's it called, the LVX?
LVX,
that's it. And the MXR Duke of Tone from guitars, we've had the Fender American Vintage 261 Stratocaster, the Eastman Juliet, and the PRS SE Silver Sky. And from amplifiers, we've had the Blackstar St. James EL34 head. We've had the PRS HDRX head. And we've had the Victory V4. Kind of the range, I guess we're saying it's the range sort of thing. So those are our nine products. And I guess let's go round to each of you and see kind of what you think, how you're feeling. If anything's jumping out, maybe if anything you think absolutely shouldn't be in the list, but maybe let's keep it positive. Like, you know, things that you feel are worthy of our top three. We need to pick two runners up and a winner of this year. Matt Knight, why don't we start the ball rolling with yourself? How are you feeling about these top nine products?
Just coming back to something that we were talking about on a previous episode about stuff that we've actually tried, and you know, Blake was talking very specifically about, you know, what he's tried and how that affects his choices. Out of those nine, obviously read and seen, and we've talked about all of these products on the podcast, but out of those, the ones that I physically tried, RE202, Duke of Tone, and the Silver Sky. But I don't know if I'd necessarily want to base my choices just on those. My opinion of the Silver Sky hasn't changed because it is a great guitar, although it's a shame to see them, certainly in the UK at the moment, there's two colours that are being, I guess we would use the term in the UK, dogged out. They seem to have gone from 849 all the way down to 599, and it's just the green and the white seem to have like been trashed, which is bizarre, but yeah, it seems to be quite a few retailers that are doing a specific deal on those at the moment, and they're selling. I mean, it looks like they're selling, so I mean, again, a popular guitar, but was it too expensive before? Guess that doesn't really decide whether it's not gear of the year or not. I mean, I still say I think it was one of those things kind of similar to the Music Man, where they'd almost done the more expensive one a disservice, I guess, by making that one so good for the money. But the more I think about it, the more I'm like, well, you know, the fan base of John Mayer fans realistically are probably driving that guitar more heavily than anything else. So would it really be a guitar that I feel is the best guitar, for example, that's come out this year? RE202 is an amazing product. It is on my board, but I would rather not specifically push it myself. I think those arguments may be left to some of the other people in the group. Duke of Tone, I'm kind of, it's a weird one because my argument is, well, you know, we talked about it on the podcast, it's kind of making the unaccessible accessible and still keeping the quality really good. Do I think it's the best thing to come out this year? No, because it doesn't necessarily break any new ground. But I think it's great for the general guitar buyers out there. If I had to pick one product, it's really difficult. I mean, the one thing that does really jump out at me is the American Vintage. I think we specifically said the Strat? I can't remember.
We did, the 61 Strat.
The 61 Strat. But I'm really torn. I think, to be honest, I could be swayed in many different ways. I mean, if I was probably picking a top three, first off, I'd probably just pick the three that I've tried this year, realistically. but I don't know. I think I can be more easily swayed by maybe some of the other people in the group.
Okay. So you're still feeling like you're quite open. I will say, as kind of an overall, just because some things were runners up in their category doesn't mean those things can't win the overall. The reason being that maybe when it comes to overall, maybe you think a little bit more globally, you think less personally, I guess.
I think that, I mean, at they're all, I mean, I quite feel quite strongly about all of these products. I still feel something like, it's weird, I think with the Black Star, we talked about it, still feels like the strongest message they're pushing is the weight, which I think is the last message that you should be pushing, because everyone just goes, you know, when you look at the Fender Tone Master, they were like, this is a twin, which happens, yeah, doesn't have any valves, and where this is like, this is an amp that's super lightweight, and it's like, okay, what does it sound like then? HDRX, I mean, I've heard quite a lot, watched quite a lot of demo videos, but again, I think it's being pushed by the Hendrix thing. The V4 strikes me as quite a good thing, but again, still not seeing some of these really big pedal board amps take off. So I don't know. I think for me, because they are the things that I've tried and I do think they're really good, I'd probably be saying, yeah, Silver Sky, RE202 and Duke of Tone. I could definitely be, I think I could be swayed on,
hey,
definitely,
look,
the Duke of Tone.
Matt, I think that is a strong selection. Those are three products that have made a big difference. All three of them have a story. All three of them were things that I think they have that same thing in common, which is they're all things that people wanted. Like, you know, for example, the Eastman Juliet is a wonderful guitar, but no one was asking for it. I know that doesn't especially matter, but those three products seem like great products that have contributed to the guitar world in a really positive way. Okay, well, we'll put a pin in yours for the moment then. We'll see what the others think and if you can be swayed at all. Philip, how are you shaken up? What do you think?
So at the risk of doing that thing that, you know, of not doing that thing where you build suspense, I'm going to put the apples on the table.
Do
which
it.
Is which is not an idiom that I'm just using anyway. I think cards on the table is the thing I should have said. But RE202, one patron choice, one listener's choice, one our best pedal. Not just won it, but three out of the four of us picked it as the best, and one of us picked it as the second best. I think we already know that's going to be at least top three, if not the number one product. Like, I can't see. I know Matt's not going to say it. Like, because, you know,
it's a lock in, isn't it? It's definitely a lock in.
It's a lock in. It's done. In my opinion, and I'll fight for this. Actually, we're arguing over second and third. Just I'm going to be honest.
I think you're probably right. Yeah, you know.
I think that's where we're going. And so when I talk about the other selections I want to put in that I think should be considered for the top three, I'm not going to argue for a guitar we picked as third that literally at some point we all sort of said, yeah, it sold a ton. It doesn't make me that excited. The Silver Sky. Right. I'm not going to argue for it. I think the Black Star absolutely should be in that consideration. And I think the American Vintage Series, because since we recorded the podcast, I've looked at them even more. And I've gotten even more excited about those guitars. And I want to get one at some point. I'm like hardcore no more buying right now. I just had to buy some PA gear and I was not excited about spending that money. And so I've got to clear that out first. But I think those are the three most exciting to me products. And look at that. You could put them together and you've got a whole rig right there. You can go gig with the gear, what I think is the gear of the year in 2022.
That is actually a great rig.
Yeah, I think so. And I do want to comment a little, like Matt talked about the V4 series. And yes, I get that that's how they're pushed, like as a pedal board amp. I don't see them that way. I see them as like the best like studio tool ever. Like multiple, you know, I look at them that way, but that's just who I am as a person. I realize not everyone's looking at it that way. I don't like pedal board amps in general. I don't like the idea of an amp being on my pedal board. That's me as a person. That's my own trauma. I think I've actually used that before. I have like these weird, strange opinions and hills I'll die on. But I love the idea of just having something on my desk that I can plug into. I don't want a software solution. I don't want something like that. I want something like a physical thing I can turn knobs on and I can play into, but it's right there. It's compact. It's on my desk. I can, you know, plug it in, ready to go, record an idea very quickly. I love those. They don't make my top three, but they would be my number four.
Yeah, I think I agree with you a lot about the Victory V4. It's less as a pedal board amp and more as a solution that sits on your desk that solves a genuine genuine problem for me. Like, it actually gives you a great-sounding hardware solution to quick and easy recording. That's a big plus. But okay. Yeah. So we kind of have sort of a top three or four, the V4 in consideration. I guess maybe, you know, we could all try and push you on the V4 if there's, you know, if some of the others aren't ending up in everyone else's list. Blake, how are you feeling about all of this in general? Like, how are you doing? Are you okay? How's your nose?
I'm not okay at all. No, I'm doing all right, but I'm gonna really stick to my guns on this one, and I am not putting the Silver Sky on this list at all in any way, shape, or form, because it doesn't belong there. It is not the gear of the year. It's a redo of something that has came out before, and I don't even mean the Stratocaster. I mean, it's a redo of something that already existed, and in that spirit, I think I have to pick for my number one the only thing on this list that really, excuse me, not the only thing. My number one and two are the only things on this list that are really bringing new stuff to the table that's exciting and truly unique. And my number one is going to be the Maris LVX for that reason, because this is the only thing that's going to help you create sounds that have not been heard before outside of some massive, massive pedal board. And I truly believe it's a extremely unique, cool tool that you could use to make new songs and new sounds that have never really been brought to the guitar world. And I just love it so much. I'm going to pick the LVX for my number one. In that same spirit, the Black Star St. James, while it's not revolutionizing sound in the same way, it's bringing it in a format that has never been seen before. You know, we kind of talked about the lightweight thing not really being that important, and I still do agree with that. But the fact that you can get an all-tube amp, you know, in such a easy-to-use, cool package, I'm kind of thinking about the head here a little more. To me, it's taking what the V4s are and there, it's just bringing it back to that classic format a little bit, but still having a lot of the same things that are cool about the V4. So I really like the St. James as a number two.
I agree. It would be difficult to ever have the V4 over the St. James, when essentially there's so much of them that are similar things, only one has a digital power stage and one has a valve power stage.
Right, exactly.
So recently, Guitar Nerd switched to using Lewitt microphones, specifically the LCT440 condenser mic. Now, this mic is super affordable and very versatile. It's what I'm using right now. In fact, there are a bunch of videos from independent studio engineers with way more audio know-how than me comparing the LCT440 to mics three times its value, and it absolutely holding up. Plus, this mic is as good for instrument capture as it is for podcasting, as it is for vocals, which is great because I don't like messing around with mics, and I can literally use this for everything. The proof is in the pudding, though. So here is my Tweed Blues Junior, recorded at a reasonable room volume using nothing but the Lewitt LCT440. Nothing has been added in post, no compressors or EQs. This is exactly how the Lewitt LCT440 captures the sound of Fender's greatest amplifier. Absolutely pucker. The 440 captures all of the depth and the character of the Blues Junior, and all I had to do was move it over the other side of the office and pop it in front of the amp. So if you're doing anything with home studio vibes, I strongly recommend this wonderful and affordable microphone. Check it out at lewitt-audio.com.
And so, and then I don't think I need to even explain why the RE202 is my number three, because similarly, it does bring some new things to the table, but it's really just a really incredible spin on something we've seen before with some brand new options in that tape delay style effect that we've not seen. So I feel I feel like that list is pretty solid.
Okay. Well, that's pretty good.
I would just jump in. I think Blake made a good point, said something there actually, which was about, you know, about Silver Sky and about, you know, it's a take on something else. And I think you've got Silver Sky, and then you've got the kind of the Strat and everything else. Almost everything on this list, especially from, it feels like a lot of the stuff that we picked is almost based on something else. A lot of the stuff that we all thought commonly about, which I think is quite interesting. So I think it was a good point on the Meris, which is like, feels like that's one of the products that's truly done something new.
It's an exciting new tool. Yeah, exactly.
I think the problem is, and like I said in the effects episode, I think they've just done a terrible job in telling people what it does.
Right, yeah.
And how they do it. And I think that's a shame, because it's probably done it a disservice, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Well, is that enough to convince you to swap out one of your choices for a Meris, to consider a Meris over, you know?
I mean, the bizarre thing is everyone's talking about the RE202 in some way. So again, well, I will stay quiet for the time being.
Okay, cool. Well, the RE202 is obviously going on my list. Like, the RE202 has to go through. I think I agree with Philip. It's a shame to sort of, peek behind the curtain this early on, dear listener, but it's just had such a strong response. As Philip said, listener's choice, Patreon choice, topping the pedals list, and it won its category by more than any of the other products did in their category. And I love it. I just think it's a wicked, wicked product that we all wanted, and we've all wanted for years, and it's exactly what we wanted, and everything about it's right. Down to the form factor, down to like that little nod to the old kidney bean shape. Like, I think it's a perfect product.
So, obviously, the RE202.
Also, like, mad respect for Matt doing his best not to just shill it a little bit. I like, because I already know. Because I know how this community works, because I've been part of this community for long enough now. Still going to get shit for picking a boss product when there's a boss representative here. It's going to happen. Matt is doing his best not to be that guy.
It would have happened regardless. Even right, if Matt was not participating, it would have happened.
Exactly. This pedal was going to be here if Matt wasn't. So.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
He didn't even pick it. Remember, he didn't initially pick it on the best pedals either. So
No, we got it through. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Matt's going to be in trouble after this, but
just ignore the Facebook group for a little while.
Yeah, it will be the it will be the notes through his door, the envelopes full of dog shit that I think will really get to him.
Yeah,
ooh, damn it! I swore. It doesn't matter.
I did too. I'm sorry. That was my fault. I broke the seal on that.
No, it's fine. It doesn't matter. Sorry, dear listener. Anyway, okay. So the RE202 is definitely going in the list. And I was waiting to hear what everyone else said to kind of be convinced. We got both Philip and Blake backing up the Black Star. I did really like that product. I understand what Matt's saying. My concern with the St. James is, and I know this isn't the only thing to consider, but is it great because it's a great amp, or is it great because it's the first to have these features? I guess, do you know what I mean? Like, will anyone care about or remember the St. James next year or the year after? Like, you know, when a couple of other companies make these things as well. That's my issue with the St. James. Whilst I think it's great and it sounds brilliant, is it my favourite sounding amp of all time? Not really. Do I really think it sounds anything like a Vox, which it claims to? I don't actually think it sounds at all like a Vox, but it is still a good sounding amp, really good sounding amp, great feature set. It's a shame that tone isn't the thing they're selling it on, and that does annoy me. But I can't argue with Philip and Blake. It is a fantastic recording solution. So I'm tempted to lean to give that a vote. But I have been completely convinced by Blake's talk about the Meris LVX. I have to give that a vote now. It's a wonderful new product, and it's pushing new sounds and new direction, new sonic creations, and we should tip our hats to products that are trying to push new things. I know that I'm always going to be the one pushing for a vintage reissue of this or that or the other, something that's classic, because I have such narrow opinions on what I actually like. The Meris is not something that I would get, but for the same reason that the Empress what is it called? The Empress
Zoya?
Zoya, thank you. There we go. Oh, I couldn't remember. For the same reason that the Empress Zoya was such an important product when it came out, the Meris LVX has to be considered. So I'm going to throw that my second vote. And then I don't know where to go third. Matt almost convinced me with the Silver Sky, but there's such opposition from both Philip and Blake, and I agree, like, who really cares about this product? Does anyone care about this product, or is it just shops pushing it because they've bought a load of them?
I think,
like, I can't work it out, you know?
No, I think a lot of people have, you know, I think it's really difficult. If an artist that you really like, and, you know, John Mayer has a lot of fans, when they come out with a guitar and they're like, oh yeah, it's totally unaffordable by 90% of the population.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and I think there's, you know, it's inevitable that they, as we said, you kind of have to make the expensive one before you can make the cheap one, because if you make the cheap one first, the expensive, everyone's going to go, well, why? The expensive one's just crazy money. And I think that's why you need to do it. And I think a lot of people do care about that and that guitar. And having played it, it is a fantastic guitar.
If you stopped right there, I wouldn't know if you were talking about the Silver Sky or the Kaizen.
So that's why I would have picked the Kaizen. But, you know... I think it's difficult. It comes down to the criteria, realistically, doesn't it? And we're not going on. I think a lot of people have probably gone on popularity, like a lot of the other Gear of the Year lists. You know, it's popularity. And to be honest, you know, if you take yourself out of the equation in terms of popularity, possibly the most popular guitar
that's received more fanfare than anything else that's come out this year. That's the guitar that people have spoke about the most. Whether yeah, that makes sure. it gear of the year, to be debated.
People have talked about Machine Gun Kelly more this year than anything else, too. That doesn't mean he's the artist of the year.
No, true. Also, I never claimed that the Guitar Nerd's gear of the year is some sort of impartial, you know, thing that's going to decide what actually is. It's more our opinions, and I think I apologize, dear listener, but when it comes down to it, I can't give that man's signature model my vote.
Good man.
Well, if you talked about just the thing that's talked about the most, it's like, okay, then it goes to the company with the biggest marketing budget.
Then Fender wins everything.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, very true. Well, look, I think my third vote is going to go to the Black Star St. James. I caveat that with saying I'm kind of picking a third place there, you know, from a few things. It's not like the Maris and the 202 were really easiest, obvious choices. The Black Star less so. So there's my three. So we've ended up, dear listener, with a whopping four votes for the Boss RE-202. We've got two people supporting the Meris LVX, that's Blake and myself. We have one vote for the American Vintage 61 Strat from Philip, one vote for the Silver Sky from Matt, three votes, for the Black Star St. James, which kind of puts the Black Star through along with the RE-202. Doesn't necessarily secure it second place just yet, even though it's got those votes, because we've got things to move around. Now, where do we go from here, fellas? You know, before I start doing a point system, I want to see if we can, you know, if anyone wants to switch anything round, if there are any, you know, because I'm choosing the Meris on the back of what Blake said. I found that a very convincing argument, and I think he's absolutely on the money there. Does anyone else think the Meris has got point? Or Philip, you know, the American Vintage 2 was something that you know, that you're promoting. Is that... Am I missing a trick? Are any of us missing a trick here?
And it's not something I would push on somebody else, because I know that is 100% my boomer millennial opinion. I'm a traditionalist. I like those things. But also, because Blake went after me, I get his point, and I want to know how much Meris is paying Blake, because I found myself in the interim looking up the price of the Meris LVX and being like, I don't know, maybe I should buy one of those and give it a shot and put it on my noise board with my microcosm. I could move my vote for the American Vintage to the Meris, like, based on Blake's argument. There's some really good points to be made there, that it is something different and impactful. And it's not, it's been well thought out, and we all know how good the folks over at Meris are at what they do. So I don't know. I could be convinced.
I think I would be happy to vote for the LVX, but I think, interestingly, I'm asking myself, are people... kind of a strong question, but are people still going to be talking about it in a year, which you often go to, Joe? And I'm like, how quickly? In fact, it's already in this sense been replaced by something more expensive and more like, oh, shiny algorithms, which is something like the H90, which I think more people have talking about the H90 than they have the LVX.
Really? Do you think?
And I think so. And I think because the H9 had such a long time in the market and it's gained such a fan base. And I think the microcosm has obviously, like, really stood the test of time. And again, I think it's down to the way it's marketed. Now, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that shouldn't be a reason why the LVX doesn't win Gear of the Year, but I think its lack of that impact, the way it was pushed, I think it could quickly get swept away by other things that come out and do something else potentially.
Make sure that doesn't happen, because it's so good.
I
feel like the microcosm took a while to be established, though.
I think the microcosm just hit the gap, hit the ground running. Like everyone bought one, and everyone's still buying one, basically.
Mostly synth players, to be fair. I think it's very popular in that world.
It's found its place. It's found its place with lots of different musicians. I think the LVX is just, yeah, I think it's great. And I think the good thing is it takes the algorithms from lots of other things they've done to create something new, which I do really like. The one product I can't get behind is the Saint James. I just think it looks cool. I don't get it. It's kind of, I know I'm sort of using a similar argument for that in my own mind, kind of what we talked about with the Tomaster. No, it's great because it's like just like a Fender, but it doesn't have valves in it. And that's great because it was a Fender amp that was super lightweight, but they went, this sounds like a twin, and it did sound like a twin. I don't feel that with St. James. I feel like they've gone, here's a super lightweight amp. What does it sound like? It doesn't matter. It's lightweight. You know, I think a lot of it.
I don't think we can let our perceived failure, or how we feel about a company's failure at marketing, whether it's Maris or St. James or the Black Star, inform whether or not the gear itself is indeed really great or not. You know, just because they didn't necessarily put it out there the same way, or put it out there in the way we think it probably should have been presented, I don't think that should have a lot of bearing on whether or not the product itself is really, like, genuinely cool.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I really do get both angles on the Black Star St. James. You know, maybe you're right, we shouldn't be considering what the company is marketing. But I do feel that it's potentially more than just the company's marketing. I think if you were judging the St. James purely sonically, then it's a good sounding amp. You know, that but that's it. Like, it's not blowing my mind tonally, and I also don't think it sounds like the things it says it sounds like. But it is very good. The features are very cool. It looks great. That sounded really negative for a product that I'd still put through as the top three. I still think it's really good. I don't know how to articulate that well enough. I think it's a fantastic product. It probably still secures my vote. It is a great sounding amplifier with some wonderful recording options. That's that.
So Philip asked me how much Maris was paying me, and they're not paying me anything, though they have supported my show in the past, well before the LVX ever was even a thought, as far as I'm aware. But what they do is they support me.
I'm glad someone else said it.
Yeah. My family forces me to eat my kimchi alone on my porch at night because they can't tolerate the smell, and Gina at Maris supports me in that loneliness. Every time I do that, I post a story on Instagram and tag Maris, and they reshare it. And I know that I'm not the only one eating kimchi alone at night because their family doesn't like the smell.
Well, so. That alone is enough to surely secure the Maris a spot in the top three. Matt, how would you feel about the Maris making it through?
Yeah, I think it's a great product. I do genuinely think it's a really, really good product. I think, to be honest, the category I've really struggled to get behind this year is amps. I'm still in some ways struggling between amps and modelers, because I think, you know, especially from my point of view, with something like the GX100, I'm like, nah, do I really class it as a modeler? Yes, it's got amp modeling, but it's also got lots of effects. I think it's still something different. I just think amps have just been a really tricky category this year. And I guess I'm maybe trying to be fair across, you know, effects, amps, and guitars. But I'd be happy to say it's one of the... I'm certainly going to take Blake's word for it on how good it is.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, hear me out. If we were to do that, the RE202 would come in first place. It kind of leaves us with the obvious front runners here being the Maris LVX and the Black Star St. James. I'm partially with Matt. I'm on the fence about moving my Black Star vote. At the moment, the Black Star has had a secure three votes, and the Maris had a people moving their votes to sort of get a place. But what if the Black Star was to make third place, even though it had a more secure three votes? Because Matt really doesn't like this product, and it makes it a tricky product to put in our top three.
Yeah, and the problem I have is I fail to see anything on this list that I would move the Black Star for. Because right. I do think, while it's not like the most exciting thing, I will give it that. It's definitely not something that I saw and just got insanely fired up about at all in any way, shape, or form. It was upon further inspection, it was like, okay, this is a new thing that, yes, maybe some other companies will eventually adopt, and perhaps Black Star will be forgotten as the innovators with these kind of features, this specific feature set. But I do think they have to get some credit for being first, even though it's not the most exciting product on our list. It really isn't. But it's hard for me to imagine what I would swap it for to try to like bring balance to the force, so to speak.
Hmm. Yeah. That's where I am too. I don't see something that I would swap it out for. I'm always reminded whenever, you know, the argument of there is something for being first. It's sort of like the old joke whenever somebody says it's not that important. I'm like, okay, tell me the second person to walk on the moon. I mean, it's like being first is important. And I feel like they've done something there. Of course, they're not technically first. So there's just less marketing around what I think was first. Joe and I have had that conversation. But it's there. And I think it's really doing something to make – it's moving amplifiers to a market where they won't be forgotten when everything goes to digital or, you know, pedal board solutions or emulators. It's making an active effort to keep legitimate amplifiers viable to me.
Absolutely.
Because they've got to adapt or they're going to be left behind.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As home recording is becoming so much more common, as stages are becoming silent, as sound engineers are wanting to line in your amplifier more rather than miking it up with a crappy SM57. Like, all of those things are solutions that digital modeler users have that we are completely cut off from, or, you know, largely cut off from. The Black Star St. James is the closest thing to offering us all the things we want with all the modern things that you get from digital amplifiers. And it doesn't have to be a fake like the Fender Tone Master. Not that the Tone Master doesn't sound great, but as in, that's just a digital amp. Like, the whole chassis is just for show, because there's nothing in there. There's a PCB in there and a speaker. You know, this is actually, you know, remember how, does anyone remember the Ampeg SVT450s? They were like, it was a bass amp, but it was like a Class AB thing that they put in the chassis of the SVT Classic, and it always felt like a con, because the amp's tiny, but they're putting it in that big chassis so you can pretend you've got a valve amp, and that's
not good. And then you go to pick it up thinking you need to get someone else to come help you, and you realize, oh, never mind.
Exactly. But that's kind of how I feel about the Tone Masters a little bit. You know, it's like it's trying to look like the real thing, but it isn't. Whereas the Black Star, yeah, that's, at least it's not lying to me. That's I can get behind that.
So the Tone Masters, just because I've got to throw this in there, I am a Super Reverb aficionado. I've owned multiple vintage Super Reverbs. I still have one that'll be till the day I die amp. I named my podcast after the Super Reverb. when the Tone Master came out, I was super excited. I went and played it. It does not sound like a Super Reverb.
Right, right.
It sounds good. Don't get me wrong. It sounds good. It does not sound like a Super Reverb.
Right. Yeah, the other people have said that on the Guitar Nerds group on Facebook. I thought it sounded excellent, but I can't claim to have AB'd it in close proximity. And I also can't claim to know the sound of a Super Reverb like the back of my hand. So,
yeah, that's the sound I most... And I say that to say, I think the Tone Master series is good, but I also, you know, that argument of they sound like the thing they're supposed to sound like, I don't think they do. I think they sound good. I still don't think they sound like the thing they, you know, say they sound like.
That's surprising, because I thought the Deluxe, I only played the Deluxe, and I thought it sounded pretty good.
The deluxe sounded really good until you cranked it.
I did not do that because I was in Andy's house.
Oh well, I cranked it against a 66 super or deluxe reverb, and I've heard a few others. And there's just the way the tube one overdrives is different. I'm not saying better or worse. I'd need to go back and like listen back, but it does not sound the same cranked, which is fine. I don't fault it for that. It's a hard thing to emulate every aspect of those amps. And that's the same thing with any digital version. It sounded good. It didn't sound like the deluxe that we had in the room.
Okay. Well, that's a... I wonder if that's kind of more, you know, a continuation of how when the 80s happened and everything went digital, everyone went, this is great. These sound just like the real. This is obviously the solution. And, you know, 20 years later, everyone was like, this stuff is rubbish. Was anyone convinced by it? It's because the convenience kind of outweighs the sonic, you know.
It's quality. Good for what this is,
right? Like, yeah,
and over the years we keep saying, oh, this. Everybody thought, oh, Helix. No one will need amps anymore. Well, people still use amps, maybe not as much. It's all whittling away at it. It's not. There's not been a product that's come out that has been definitively this replaces guitar amplifiers, but it has whittled away some of those people that were on the fringes, sort of on the verge of wanting to go to a different solution. Yeah. When they create the replacement for the guitar amplifier that I never have to worry about tubes again and it sounds just as good, I'm here for it.
Yeah. But it's not here yet.
No, I've not experienced it yet.
No.
Okay. So, back on track then. How are we feeling about that weighing, about that lining up? The St. James making third place. The Meris LVX making second and the PRS SE Silver Sky in first. Is that what we all agree on? Cool. Okay. Thanks very much.
Yeah. I don't even know what to say.
I'm here for it, Joe. I'm here with this.
Okay. The RE202 is an obvious winner. I think we can all agree that. And then it really is the St. James and the Meris. How do you feel those should go round, Blake?
Well, I think that's pretty obvious. I think the Maris, then the Black Star for me.
Philip?
I think that's the logical solution at this point. All these are great products, but those are the ones I think. The concept, and Matt talked about it, like, are we still going to be talking about it in a year, 2 years? I actually think with the LVX, it's something we'll be talking about more in 2 years than we're talking about it this year.
I agree. I think it needs some establishment time. I don't feel that the Empress Zoya, like, you know, was completely obsessed with it when it came out. It took a little while for people to get to grips with it, and then it started becoming popular. I think we'll see something similar from the LVX.
I think with the Zoya, you're talking about something. The Zoya is scary. It's a scary unit for a lot of people. And so it's not ever going to appeal to a mass number of people. It doesn't mean the innovation is any less important or innovative or groundbreaking. It just means that at its core, it's going to appeal to less people, so it's not going to be as talked about.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. And Matt, how do you feel about this list? I know you don't like the third place, but how do you feel about the way it's shaken out?
I mean, no one's going to be happy. You can't make everyone happy all the time. I get the arguments and I understand it. And I think, you know, it's all about number one, really.
Wait, okay. I think we've been manipulated, guys.
Yeah, that's true. If you're not first, you're last. So.
Okay. All right. Well, in that case, fellas, and
it's not a power supply. Ha ha. Yes.
Yes, exactly. In that case, everyone, dear listeners, I think we have a top three. In third place, the Blackstar St. James EL34 head. In second place, the Meris LVX. And in third place, the Boss RE202. Two effects pedals and an amp. Not a guitar in sight this year, but they certainly are, I think, a really great example of three of the most exciting, innovative, and important products that have come out in 2022.
And as I said at the end of the amps episode, my work here is done. I made sure that an amp was gear of the year.
Good work.
A tube amp.
There you go. We've got a tube amp here.
Nice.
A gear of the year. A reverb delay.
I feel really good about this overall, you know, because the Maris and the RE202 are genuinely some of my very favorite things that came out in 2022. And despite me getting really beat up in the guitar round, I feel like I'm standing tall now, so I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Wonderful. Well, I think that is an excellent list. So Boss, Meris, and Blackstar all get their little stickers or their badges that I send them to say that they've won gear of the year. Thank you very much, fellas. Thank you, Matt, Philip, and Blake. This has been an excellent gear of the year. You've been wonderful hosts.
It's been an excellently long gear of the year, as always. We did not disappoint in our timings.
Yeah, I love how you started out. Oh, this will be relatively short. It's not going to be that... You won't have that much discussion. We talk for 2.5 hours.
I knew better. We've got bunch of podcasters. It's just that's what happens. Literally, we can't even get on the phone for less than 45 minutes.
yeah, that is true. Well, there we go, dear listener. I hope you have enjoyed Gear of the Year this year. That's it for us for now. Oh, there's actually, if you're a Patreon subscriber, there is a secret episode coming out tomorrow if you're listening to this on the day of it being released. And other than that, Guitar Nerds is going to be back in the new year in January. What are you fellas doing for? Are you taking a little Christmas break, Philip?
Yeah, so I'm going to take a little bit of a break. I've got an episode coming out this week. I've had a couple of weeks that have gone without an episode because I had a sinus infection, and then it interrupted some scheduled interview dates. And so this week will be my last episode of season 2. And season 3 will start middle of January. So
wonderful, wonderful. A similar time to us. I think that's what we'll do, middle of January. What about you, Blake? How are you dealing with the holiday period?
I just keep on keeping on. I just keep going, keep chugging along, keep putting out things every Monday. Although for Chasing Tone, we are taking a little break. But for Tone Mob, the episodes just keep on coming, baby.
Blake is a machine. It just doesn't stop.
You got to give the people what they want.
Well, that is true, and you do that very well. But yes, this has been a wonderful series. Philip, Blake, it's been fantastic to have you guys on board. I've had a really great time. Dear listener, thank you for listening. You've been lovely. We've been the Guitar Nerds Gear of the Year podcast series. Stay classy. I should have thought about that ending. Stay classy. Farewell. You guys can say bye now.
Okay.
Bye, guys.
See ya. Bye.
Au revoir.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.